Recording in progress. All right, Lisa's in Madrid, so I'm just with this should be a little less commentary.
Hi, everybody. Happy December.
Yay.
I just have a few things from the city. We were awarded an award from Opera Clean Future Ohio last week for nothing more than simply starting a green energy aggregation program. So I can't.
Which is still a big deal.
It is a big deal. But I don't want. Thank you. I don't want you guys to think that we just have been like miraculously new because we didn't. We started the aggregation program a year ago and we were awarded for it on Wednesday.
Fantastic.
What did they win? It's a glass trophy, I guess. It is in the Maryland.
There's a picture of you holding it.
There was a picture of me holding
Oh,
it.
nice.
Yeah. We are working on the sustainability action plan with the hopes that it could come before any interested people for reviewing in the next few months, hopefully sooner rather than later. And we have engaged with the firm to sort of utilize on an a la carte basis. So most of the plan will be done in-house, but there might be some things that I shop out to this firm. This firm is also the firm that is working on the Central Ohio Climate Action Plan. So hopefully we can get some synergy. And by that, I mean I can take some of the things that they've already written that are us as well. I'm still working on our food council and our food council so that was theoretically supposed to happen this year. It should happen early next year. And I received air quality monitors. I bought them on Cyber Monday. So all of that stuff is here. We just now need to assemble them and get them up. Currently collecting lights and light bulbs. We've had some discussion about Earth and Urban Day celebrations taking place earlier than they typically have and being more in line with the city's Jeffrey Woods Festival. So that has not been finalized, but those are the thoughts as of present. And the budget was passed by council, I think it was last Tuesday. And so it didn't change from what I showed you previously to my knowledge. Also, with that, next year we will be. This board will be getting a new city council liaison. I'm not sure who that will be, but those change annually. So, just so you know, that is all I have thus far.
What the hullabaloo from the Bexley buzz about the dark colored clamshells? That have you found out any more about
Oh, yeah.
that? No, but the
It's
top
amazing.
guy at Rumpke says so.
These mothers, brothers, cousins, people, dogs watched a webinar and they wrote all the stuff. There was some stuff that was said on the webinar that is not widely promoted by Rumpke because it's not something they actually accept. So that went, I don't want to say actually viral, but there were a handful of comments and likes on that. And unfortunately, there was some misinformation. The woman who posted it eventually was in touch with me. And I gave her the information and I looked into it, and what I thought was correct. But I think by that point, there were so many people who had read it. I don't know, how much she was able to kind of bring that back in.
What was posted? What was the
She was like a list of things that she heard in this webinar that could potentially be recycled.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody happens to see that again, if that kind of thing comes up, please feel free to post like, please refer back to Bexley.org or we have a
Here's the
list.
flyer.
Plug, yeah. We have all that stuff ready to go. I'm not going to jump on there and promote it. That's not how we operate, but you are by all means welcome to do that. And we could ask people to email me. It's the best way to get in touch with me.
Ice cream containers, is that one? How about grease on the pizza box?
I wonder why that changed.
They said because it's the new technology of like the pulp, or it's like they didn't, it wasn't as big of a deal as I thought it was. I don't know.
They just want as much fiber as possible.
Oh, okay.
Yay.
That happens fast. Thank you.
That's
Maybe
amazing.
it's because I haven't been doing a whole lot of stuff, but I have been working.
I thought that you were starting to, I don't know if I thought you were going to, I thought that when you said, getting ahead, blah, 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 we were going to say, let's start getting names down for our summer dates and whatnot. That's
Not there yet.
All right. Any subcommittee updates? Application outreach?
Did I miss us creating this? Because my understanding, so I wasn't here in November, but we, in our October meeting, we talked a lot about reorganizing ourselves in some cases. Did that happen in November?
Yes, let me pull that up. So I don't think it was so much a reorganization as it was like a reaffirmation.
Okay. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
It was
We
brief.
changed the protocol biodiversity. They helped the outdoor spaces. Actually, I need to change
So we kind of went through this and thought about, particularly as it pertains to this bucket, in terms of like community gardens, rain gardens, maybe that was more quote unquote outdoor spaces as opposed to biodiversity.
Yep. Oh, look, there's me.
Some people got moved. I don't see very many. Two or three. Fine.
I'm happy to give an update about transportation.
Great.
The update about transportation is the city of Columbus is removing Cogo, totally moving away from Cogo. There's a
Oh,
new,
yeah. Yes, I
starting
read.
next year, there's a new company coming to town. And there is, because the stations are co-owned with the city and the company, there's conversation about how, what's the capital drawdown going to look like. So there's going to be a kind of growing pains as we move toward a another company that has different options, including stations, but a lot more e-bike kind of options. I had already had a conversation in November with the Kogo person that I have been trying to reach for 6 months that basically said that they are not building any more stations. So I don't believe, actually, Kogo's out of the picture. I have no contacts with the new company. It's been publicized what the name of the company is, but I can't remember it right now. So we're going to have a whole new group of folks to engage with when that company comes in, and a whole new list of not necessarily problems, but opportunities to think about how to engage with micro mobility, because they will have, like, we're eliminating the line, we're eliminating whatever the orange one has been, and it will be a single company that has scooters, e-bikes, regular bikes, and some kind of like fourth option. There's like six options. So that means that, like, the station here, there's two stations in Bexley, that both those stations will be replaced. Timeline uncertain. But we will not be getting one at Trexman Broad, just my God.
So this station will have all six options.
Most of the options won't necessarily need to be docked. Elizabeth can probably pull it up.
One of these scooters.
Options of scooters. It's like Velo. I don't know. That doesn't, no, it's not Velo. Don't look at that. There's no boards.
They're red, aren't they?
They're full.
Purple.
So, but that while Elizabeth was looking that up, I also have been engaging with the school about a bike to school day. It's VO. About a bike to school day. There is lukewarm interest. My thing is, I don't want to do it if there aren't any students interested, and I will have more engagement with the students in the spring. I'm moving them back, so we'll propose again. But
is this specifically for CSG?
This is specifically for CSG because I don't know. I have tried to do collaborative things with Bexley High School students, and I feel hesitant about starting it. I feel hesitant about being like, let's start this from the ground. I feel more confident being like, we're going to do it. If you'd like to join us.
Do you like?
Yeah, does it have a picture? Can you go to the vehicles page?
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, it's like six. One scooter. I like the picture when it's all one, you know?
Yeah. I can't. Okay.
So this is the regular. This is the bike we've had in the past.
Yeah.
But it's they're all. I don't know if they're all e-bikes. If that one's an e-bike. No, this one's not.
They look lighter than other e-bikes I've seen. That's
Well, they are the probably fourth iteration of, you know, this kind of docking shared bike thing, and this company is taking over the country, so the sixth city to do it.
The tricycle for changing.
So great. Really are just fantastic.
Okay, that's the transportation update.
What about been there like 500 miles of new bike paths coming?
There is that. Sorry, yes, we had an election in November. The bike plus is voted in. We are having more bike lanes and more protected bike lanes in the Columbus area. Yes, that is happening. Yes.
So I thought that was separate from the COTA thing.
It is, but they're connected in that one happened in the election, November 5th, 7th, and then the other one was recent. Bike Plus was just voted in it.
Right.
If you haven't seen the like capital plan for Columbus downtown with the pedestrian and bike lanes, it is very exciting.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, they've had a number of presentations. I do things with Transit Columbus, and they presented them. There's a website for it with the maps and whatnot. It's been in the Columbus Underground pretty often.
What's finally?
Oh gosh. Well, the thing is, they're starting soon, so they're.
They're starting with West Broad, right?
Well, that's for COTA. That's for the for the COTA lines. Yes, the bike part is starting soon. Yes. The West Broad, what is it called? Like, not a protected bus lane, designated bus lane, which includes some construction because there will be raised platforms, is starting on West Broad. So there is a timeline for it. The whole timeline is like 2030. I feel like it's quick for, you know, a municipal project.
What is the dashed line at number 12?
Go for it.
What is the dashed line?
The dashed line is what you will see
In Bexley.
In small
That's
suburbs.
That's why I'm asking.
It's I don't know the correct name, but it's not a designated bus.
It is shared lanes with cars.
AKA restroom or what?
Well, it's just because we can't give up.
You shared in Bexley.
A little bit.
Yeah. My dog boots closed.
Elizabeth, was I happy with that?
Any word on high-speed trains? I've heard some.
What? Okay, so we are, first of all, we have no idea what's happening with the new administration. So Ohio and Amtrak are in the exploratory phase of intercity transit. There is interest from Ohio, and by interest, I mean not hostility. And there is high interest from Amtrak. But we are in the exploratory phase right now.
Like a rapid transit?
I mean, as rapid as Amtrak is, I feel like it's not going to be Japan.
This is to connect cities within.
This is CCND, and
go all the way to Guardians game.
There's the map, there's a map to other cities and whatnot. It's very exciting, but it's not happening soon. We are all excited about it, It's not in the sphere of influence of this committee.
Using existing tracks, or
mostly existing tracks. That's why I'm like, it's not gonna be faster. It's just gonna be not driving, which is also still exciting.
It's gonna be a possibility.
Yes, it is a possibility. The political will, and the goal, similar for how we got matching, like the purpose of the POTA vote in November was to match funds with the federal government's offering. We have no idea what the next administration will say about this. So we'll see. We'll see. Yes, there's a lot of energy. If you're interested, follow All Aboard Ohio on socials. They're the ones.
What's that?
All Aboard.
All Aboard Ohio. All Aboard Ohio. It's a whole nonprofit that's like doing this work. It's basically the Morp Seat in this area. But like not Central Ohio, but you know, the Midwest-ish. Really trying to get the cities on board, because who knows what the government will say.
All right, any other subcommittees?
Yes. And I have a couple asks too. So I'll give you the Bexley Habitat Triangle update. So we met with there are 30 houses that are signed up, and we've had meetings about what's to be expected. The residents have all been there and they're all on board. And basically it's about creating one unbroken habitat within a city that can be replicated in other cities. So we've removed honeysuckle from, there are 17 yards that need to have honeysuckle removed. 14 yards have had the honeysuckle removed already. And we have 3 yards left to do, and that will hopefully be done this weekend. It's a little tricky with the incoming weather, cold weather we're about to get. So we're gonna hopefully have it done by the 22nd. And then the next steps after that would be, we've had a landscape designer meet with all the residents to come up with those plans. We're ordering plants, and then we'll do resident education. They all want to have classes, so we'll offer classes this spring as well. And then installations will happen starting at the end of April and May. And my first ask is, we are looking for groups of students to do installations with us again this year. As we know, these initiatives are highly volunteer-based, so we'd love to start setting that up.
Yeah.
And so if anybody knows any PACs or troops or groups of students that are looking for some volunteer time, please let me know. We've worked with hundreds of CSG students and several Bexley High School students as well. But if anybody knows any PACs or troops or other people, please let me know so we can get them set up.
What age is a good age? Like what's your minimum?
Maybe like 8. It's really about education. So it's not, you know, essential that they, you know, work and sweat all day.
Yeah.
It's like a couple hours of work. Thank you for asking that. And then the other thing is, that we're working on is the mosquito pilot is underway again. We started resident recruitment. It's a little trickier this time around for many reasons. It's much more complicated. It's easier in that we only need 20 houses as opposed to 100 this time, but they need to be certain distances from each other. And there's, you know, other sort of requirements, but we have 2 groups so far. And we're looking for 2 more groups. Ideally, the further north we can get, the better, because we're really trying to spread the groups out. So if you know anybody who might be interested in signing up to be part of the OSU Mosquito Pilot Round 2, please send them my way.
You're looking for individuals out of this? Sorry.
We're looking for groups of five houses, and then when we get a group of two or three people together that say they'd like to be in a particular treatment group, then we go knocking on doors saying, "Hey, your neighbor's interested. Might you be interested as well?" And in the past, we were doing either a row of five or a row of three, and then two connected by an alley. But this year, we're only doing a row of five, and the idea is the center house is really the one that we're testing, and then we're monitoring more closely. And the ones on the sides are creating like a buffer area for the study.
You'd like North Bexley if possible.
North Bexley, if possible.
I don't know what North Bexley
North of Broad. We have a South Bexley treatment group. We have a treatment group on Dufair, and now having a couple in North Bexley would really be helpful.
Is that in the notes?
Emily and Michael. She's a corner outside.
Can I ask them?
Well, then we would just need five, four more houses.
Can't go like one way.
If it's at a
So,
corner, I don't know. I'd have to ask the entomologists about if that would work for them or not. It's a good question.
and they have a really large lot. So does that still count as one house?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question because lot size is an issue, and we're trying to get this is a, one of the requirements that's steeper this time. We're trying to get lots that are similar sizes, but we might not be able to get everything that we're looking for because it's so complicated.
Well, you might need just two or 2.5 houses.
It still needs to be five houses.
I mean,
Even though, like, even
interesting.
with the lot size. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe.
Yeah, maybe further east. Yeah.
Okay.
What was it?
Remington or Cassingham, one of those ones that have more deaths.
Yeah. And these treatment groups would be the opt out of spray. We have so the four groups are either Franklin County spraying is one group, or Franklin County spraying plus additional barrier spray. And then we have one group that does not get any spray, and one group that doesn't get any spray and then has traps, mosquito traps. And so we're looking for those two, the no spray group. And this year, the trap, one way this study is different than 2 years ago is that the traps are much stronger this year. They're actually like vacuuming in insects, so they'll bring in tons of mosquitoes.
I think I know something I'm scared.
That would be great. Yeah. Please keep me posted.
The
What do you
spraying
think?
is just a pesticide to kill.
Yeah.
Are
Yeah.
they haven't looked into sterilization?
Sterilization, that's not part of this study. But yeah, it's spray for this one. That's my update. Thank you.
Great.
My
Thank you.
answers.
Right.
So in the notes, it's going to kind of say that request that request. I just need to remember that request.
Do you want me to text you?
Yes.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
Thank you, Corey.
All right, anything else? Race to zero, education.
I'll add a quick note about the refill pilot. We're set to launch on January 13th. It's a Monday.
So exciting!
Yes, thank you. We're very excited about it. I've been in a weekly meeting with Central Ohio Reuse Coalition and the coffee shop owner just to keep sorting out details. We have a communication plan. The Cork guys are putting out press releases. And then they're also partnering with Common Ground. So they're doing a similar pilot with them, which is, I think, on
On
Parsons Island.
Parsons, coming out on Parsons, community ground.
Community grounds.
Yeah.
Yes. So they hope they have, they're a little bit behind the Bexley for community grounds, are a little bit behind the schedule for the Bexley shop, but they hope to catch up and then hopefully have some sort of collaboration between the two shops. The coffee shop owner here is putting the word out to her clients, so she's doing a lot to help spread the word from her end. So we're hoping to have a pretty good turnout and get people involved. Once that is up and running, I plan to get in touch with coffee shop owner and see if she can facilitate some conversations between myself and some of the participants to gauge their experiences. And hopefully, once we've done this for a little while, we can reconvene and analyze data that we've collected and hopefully put together a pitch to move to other coffee shops. But that's a few months down the road. We're still working to get this pilot running.
So this coffee shop has a different clientele, but they have consistent
Yeah, it's kind of a unique case. So it's Wonderful Times Cafe, which is a cafe inside of Chambers Music Studio. So it's kind of an unusual coffee shop situation because the primary audience are parents and students coming to the music studio. But it is a cafe, it's open to the public. You can go in, it's a charming little shop. They have sandwiches and coffees and teas and things like that. And one of the reasons we selected it is because of its small size. Their clientele is basically everybody's a repeat customer. So it's
caption market.
right. So we're keeping that in mind. It might be a different scenario if we go to a Kitty's or a Cherbourg or something. But the idea is for us to learn and to see what improvements we might be able to make before we go to one of those other shops and pitch. I think one of the concerns for other coffee shop owners is one, going to be training, and then two, going to be cost. For like initial set of fees. But over the long term, if the pilot is successful and people use it and return the cups, it can really drastically reduce the amount of single-use to-go coffee cups that are used. So that's good environmentally speaking, but then also costs for the coffee shop owner as well.
That's super exciting. I Community Grounds is public, but it's a cool coffee shop. So I would love to be press releases when they're ready.
Yeah.
Get some students.
Do you know how long it would take place to break even?
I think there's some variables there to consider as far as volume. I mean, break even financially, that just all depends on the type of disposable stuff that they're using. But environmentally speaking, something like 50 to 100 uses will break even with disposable, which, if you think about it, sounds like a lot kind of on the surface. But if for a repeat customer to a coffee shop and you go once a week, that's, a year's worth of visits. But, sounds a lot like up front, but over time, there's really some environmental gains to be had. But in addition to that, there's also, in my opinion, a cultural element here that is important, and it's getting people used to the idea of not throwing things away when they buy stuff. So to me, that is the real big opportunity here, and to build upon some of the programs that you've got going on with the main event and the reusables having there. To me, there's two bricks kind of ready to like build a foundation of reuse and a culture of reuse here. So that's why I'm really excited about it.
I was saying, like, if you go back to somebody else in 6 months and say, like, well, these folks have already made it with a while financially, but you're saying that in that, like, you're not going to know.
Yes, the coffee shop owner will be tracking that data.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that question, but at some point, yes, somebody is tracking that data, and we do plan to present those figures because that's a key
Yeah.
element for a coffee shop owner or restaurant owner.
If they can cut their stuff in half. For it own, that's huge.
Yeah,
They
for sure.
didn't cut half.
For sure.
Yeah, the coffee
Stir whatever.
Not to mention
Just
storage, you need space to store big boxes of, cups and lids and all that. If you can cut that down, then you have more room for other things.
the
So,
European beer stein model where you're just gone.
right.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could do fixing buttons.
Yeah. So, cork and is reaching out to coffee shop owner, and they plan on using their own social media feeds to promote it. I think they sent an email to Elizabeth and asking for help spreading Brewery Bexley. So we're trying to get the word out. The coffee shop owner is putting things like flyers and her student take-home bags every week to tell every single parent that shops there or that is a customer. But again, it's still a pilot. We're still learning. It's kind of a unique case, but to spread the word and at least a small group of core users that we can learn from.
Is this particular company open to scaling? So when this goes well and when other businesses decide they want to join in, is Ocali, they have the capacity to be in the
They are a company that I think are located on the West Coast. So they've already got shops in, like, I don't know, California or Colorado or wherever they're headquartered, you know, a network of shops. We are the first ones in the Midwest or East Coast. Actually, they might have some locations in New York, but they are already established and, yes, ready to scale.
Where?
I'm sorry?
Where? What location?
Here in Bexley. So it's Wonderful Times Cafe. It's inside the Chambers Music Studio. It's the first one. It's a small little cafe inside this. Yep.
What else?
Well, something we did at that time, but I had committed to get in touch with Elena. Their last name, we've had OSU sustainability side, and then the agriculture professor was supposed to arrange a meeting with each of them. So, and myself, and I have been the last few weeks, we just had that meeting with that, but I will show that beginning of the year.
Sustainability Action Committee. So we have been working fervently through our topics, and we developed a methodology that we could look at each area, like land use, energy, electricity, and look at the four sectors of commercial, institution, residential, and so on. So we worked through that document, which is huge progress. And we're feeling as it's been our thematic area. So the idea there was to understand like mitigation and adaptation approaches for each of those sectors and those thematic areas. Last year, we had worked on all the programs. So we're at the point now where we're transferring all of the data and Excel spreadsheet to writing for the website. So I'm meeting person that's been helping us, and we just put together a timeline for April of just doing a lot of writing and then getting it to stakeholders to review. So that's the time.
For that note, I had 3 hours today and I wasn't able to write it in 1 sentence. No, okay, I'm very serious. I saw this block and I was like, golden.
It's probably a really good
thing. You know, it was the qualities, but yeah, people are like, you know, all the time, but it was worth it. So, if we have time at the end, if we're going to be in the next episode, interest,
yeah,
you wanted to add for you to the show. So, we've got two. Okay. Any of you guys like taken some action? I don't know if anybody takes a gander at various sustainability action plans from different cities, but let me just pull up two of note. So this is City of Columbus Sustainability Action Plan. So generally speaking, these are, I don't know, 100 to 200.
Are we looking at something up here?
Oh, well, thank you. Like 100 to 200 pages. with information, and then you get like a third of the way through, then they start to have goals. So this is the city of Columbus's. You know, they tell you how they go through it, and then they get to the good stuff. So let's say page, I don't know, 90. So this is City of Bexley's stuff for waste specifically. So you got a little paragraph explaining it. Then they have strategies. Oh. All right. So they've got, you know, they want to reduce their landfill organic waste. They have a goal. They've got information about it. Then they've got some information about what their targets are, who's going to take on this information, what kind of benefits this will have. They do this over and over and over again. Forever and ever and ever. So this is just for waste. And if we go back up here, you'll see that they've got waste, they've got energy, they have greenhouse gases probably in general. And all these different things, primarily as it pertains to greenhouse gas emissions. Our task was to have something a little bit more broader than just greenhouse gas emissions. So here's what we've got going on.
So they have buildings, transportation.
Yeah, there we go, yeah. And this is pretty standard. The city of Dublin also recently released their plan. So if you're interested, by all means, go on it. It's a similar kind of thing. We've got two documents going for us. So the first one is really like the narrative portion that you would have found at the beginning of the City of Columbus's plan. We've got our acknowledgements, got how it works, background information, other city plans that align with this. We're gonna work on a new greenhouse gas inventory, talk about what that means, what I'm working on, was what we're looking at as it pertains to the climate crisis and how it's going to affect us. That's where I am right now. If we then keep going, what will come soon is our strategies and actions. Right now we have it in a spreadsheet and it will be transposed, so it's not in a spreadsheet. Also, our goal for this is to have it as an interactive website as opposed to just a PDF, because we want you to be able to click and it'll take you to things. We know that people aren't going to read 100 pages. We want it to be paragraphs of information, kind of choose your own adventure to get what you want.
Searchable.
Yes. So here's our list of actions. Don't look at this page. These are our thematic areas, air quality, biodiversity, you know, all these things at the bottom. So these are possibilities. And then within these things, you'll see, for example, solid waste. So we've got this broken down by the city, commercial, institutions, and residents. And then we've got actions in each little cell. Then if you click on it, we are essentially writing in what you saw in the City of Columbus and their rectangle on the side, which is what will the financial cost be, who's taking the lead, what is our implementation timeline, what kind of benefits is this going to have. So all of these cells need to have that kind of information, and that's a lengthy process, as well as writing this stuff is also a lengthy process. So basically what I'm saying is this is taking a long time. And then we've got to get a graphic scheme and we've got to get this all up online. And that's what we're working with and on.
Do I have anybody's interested in writing at all in any of the areas? Seeing, you know, come to one of our committee meetings, we could review with you what we have. Essentially, like, for instance, if you were interested, and like land use,
I've actually written the biodiversity one, so it could be like A, transposing it from here and writing it based on the template that we have, or B, reviewing what we've already written. If anybody's interested in any of the thematic areas, I think that would help us. Or if you want to review the potential or the drafted programs. So here's transportation queries. So you can see we didn't get to the, you know, clickable in the bus, but let us know what you see in other cities that you think would be implemented here and figure it out and add them. So I had somebody thoughts about water and concrete preservation. So we're kind of going back and forth. He said, you know, I think we should do this. I referred him to the city code and said, hey, do you know about this? He said, no, I didn't even know that existed. Then for the other thing, I said, this is really cool. Can you tell me where it's happening so I can look and find somebody who's doing it, get their feedback, see how they implemented it, find out really what worked for them primarily and what sort of reservations or issues there were so that we can take that into consideration.
Noting that, though, like, these cells and what's written there didn't just anywhere. It wasn't like magic poop. He just started writing. It was through stakeholder engagement and OSU students and like calling all that together, looking at peer cities. You know, there's a lot of data that went into calling these programs. Some of them could be ordinances. Some of them could be, you know, a subcommittee getting together. Some of them could be just education. And so I think we've been in it for so long, having such a pair of eyes on like, well, you know, just even going through these areas, because we're going to pull these into the sustainability action plan, but not all of it. Like, some of it's going to be like back end, like what do we want to do? You know, for thinking about increasing bike parking. Okay, so what does that mean? You know, in terms of is there a program of policy or something like that? Some of it will end up in the sustainability action plan. I think knowing the difference at this point would be helpful for anyone who's, you know, or you're interested in looking at transportation, doing some quality assurance, putting some comments in the boxes with some thoughts and ideas. You know, Rebecca, if you're interested in the, you know, and the names, are, the nomenclature there can change. It's the outdoor spaces, but whatever we, like, that's also a point of feedback, you know. But is anyone?
I can look at the biodiversity section.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Is this, once it's written, or is it?
Once it's written, it's going to be adopted by council and it's going to be a city plan, but there will need to be benchmarking. So at some points, there's going to be like a report back. Theoretically, since we're doing this online, it's as simple as like a red, yellow, green dot next to it, or like a progress bar, something like that.
That's and we how far we are in the
wow.
I thought you were going to say how far we are in writing it.
So definitely reported back with greenhouse gas inventory, like emissions. That's probably the biggest component. But it would be advantageous to us too. For as many things we possibly. Some of these things are aspirational, right? Like there's certain elements in here, like a program or increased bike parking. Those are things that can just be like, here are some like stakeholder engagement programs, and we can, you know, put those in. And then, I mean, it's going to get edited out based on it. You know, city council is like, yeah, we discuss that publicly, any disclosure, but that's something we can take, you know. You can take it into consideration. So I think just, you know, what seems feasible? What seems aspirational? What seems like that's something we would want to raise to city council in a more official city, but take off. But you know what I mean? Those kinds of comments. And I don't know, like the little box that you pulled out, it's not in every one of those, but like financial, like, you know, aspects. There's like five parameters that you pulled from the city. And maybe that would be helpful to see if there's any fill in the blanks there. Yeah, I haven't
watched that. What kind of time are you working with?
Sure, with this document?
Or, you know, if you're asking us to provide comments, what kind of timeline would you like for to have those comments back?
Same. But But I also don't, like, I'm trying so hard to do, we're trying so hard to do as much as we can, so good as we can. In my dream, it's all written by the end of the month, and that's definitely not happening.
December?
Yeah, that's not happening.
Beginning of the summer.
The goal is to have this done by April.
Do you have a web tool that you want to use?
We have not yet decided. We're going to go with the city website and do pages off of that, or if we're going to get Squarespace or things.
I've worked with Squarespace and Wix. You know, not that you asked me, but Wix, I find much. You have many more options to work with. I feel sort of really limited by Squarespace.
Thank you.
My feeling is that it's Squarespace is easier to use if you have less experience, but you can do less of it.
The thing is, I would say that sticky use of the thinking about that in the context of the sustainability action plan, right? Like what everything we've written there are things that are like feasible committees, education, you know, efforts, potential ordinances, but I think it should also fit in the context of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so just like taking that lens to
share
helpful too. Elizabeth, do you want to send that out? Or I don't know if that makes any sense, but could we embed those links?
I do share the document, I guess, to anybody who is interested. I can do that. Yeah, I can do it now. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And it's band concert night. I'm going to go see my son. I see his son.
That's what?
See all of you.
Well, I'm wondering what you guys were doing.
Jeremy Heather did a lot of work too.
Oh, good. How many different topics were there?
A lot. And then more than 10.
Oh, wow.
We parsed it out pretty specifically and don't know if we're going to keep it that way. But it is like that.
With general water based energy. And right.
Everybody,
good night. Good
night. Okay. Do you want to send that out with the
just I'm sending this right now.
Okay.
Anybody has a or Rebecca John? Matthew, received.
I'm interested. I'm just concerned about taking on one more thing and being able to. Okay. Yeah, thank you. I'm sure.
Something's glaring at you, and then just you know how that happens. It's just typing, and then not.
See, you want to go?
Right. Any other subcommittee updates? Corey, do you have anything for CSG?
We found out that we were not as good at composting as we thought. So we did I feel like it looks great whenever I look in, but it's actually the recycling is the biggest problem. So we just did a 2-week experiment of like somebody standing at the bins every day. So hopefully we are back on track.
But we'll have to do it again when we get back from break. But that's just a note for everybody interested in building composting and like comprehensive waste management. You've got to just do it every day for a long time. This is our third year doing school-wide composting just in our dining room, and it is still a journey. And
just messing up most of the younger
adults.
Adults.
Totally adults. Mostly because the students ask each other, and we just don't, we haven't, like, the adults eat between times, they, like, don't, you know, and there's never anybody there watching them.
Is there any signage?
Oh, there's signage. We have, our dining manager is working on, like, a formal, but we have like kind of this situation. They're working on more formal, like frame with the things that we have in our dining room stuff. So we're going to have an update on that at our January meeting, which I have not organized yet. So I'm going to organize that.
You thought about having like a student composting session or something like that?
Yeah.
Like an adult composting center?
There's only one waste place in the dining room, unfortunately.
There are no adults here.
I mean the students still need to do it. It's not all adults, it's just they're the culprits.
What is there other than food?
So there is trash. Like there is we don't have milk cartons anymore. We eliminated milk cartons. And so it's mostly when we have different desserts. So sometimes we have ice cream, sometimes we have like it's mostly when we have desserts. And then we eliminated like little butter packets, we eliminated salt and pepper packets, we eliminated honey packets. So it's almost always desserts and then things that people bring from outside. And then the problem, the recycling issue is like napkins in the recycling bin, food in the recycling bin. Because we try to get them to be like, if you don't know that it's compostable, just put it in the trash. But it's just an ongoing education. I had a list of our biggest culprits. Yeah, we still have individually wrapped, like, nut butter and jelly sandwiches. So those end up in the recycling bin often. And then we have like the tiny packages of crackers that they can never get enough of. Just like, can't do it. We tried like loose crackers, can't do it. And loose sandwiches, can't do it.
Those can go in the hefty, but they're probably not doing that, right? The hefty renewed, the orange bag.
The orange bag. I mean, someone would have to package them and then use the thing again. So yeah, we would not. But we have moved over to half of the sandwiches. You have to make your own sandwich. So this little dispenser for sunflower seed butter. But it's we pilot many things. Our dining staff is very willing to experiment with us, but it's hard to get the nut butter out of the dispenser, I will say. That's the end. Yeah, it's mostly desserts. So we're doing that, and we have new battery recycling, which we didn't have before. And we just had to, just ongoing education with faculty members about, you know, their classroom recycling. So it's just work to keep it going.
On the battery recycling?
No new projects, just managing what we have.
Are you're aware of lithium ion? I mean, are they...
I'm not aware of anything. I just take them to the place where the tech team has collecting them and release it from my brain. So my hope is they are managing it well in the same way that I bring my plastic over here. Release it from my brain. That's my update. I feel like there was something from St. Charles last month that I saw in the notes. No? I was like, oh my gosh, the St. Charles person.
I recall.
They've been using real silverware for 2 years. And something about biodegradable plates in Boston.
Real silverware. Is that like real silverware? Or is that a brand? I don't know about.
No, it's stainless steel.
Thank you.
Lowercase r.
Thank you. Thank you.
Those are the items.
Environmental Club had their pancake breakfast sale these Fridays. Yeah, still. Swaco opened up their new Jackson Pipe facility yesterday, this week, something there. I saw the email.
Oh, it's been that one, 2566 Jackson Pike? That's been open.
Check tours have been open.
Yeah, it's been open.
Maybe I didn't read it right.
They're doing, I know they still went
on. For Care Center?
Care Center?
So what's new and different about this?
Got the tour first.
They're taking prescription pill bottles there.
Yes,
I started on American Recycles Day. I'm sorry. They have to, drive them. Yeah, I mean they're being collected at the convenience center. That's the convenience center that he's talking about. 2566 Jackson Pike. I started doing it myself too, so I haven't gotten very many either.
I think the assumption is you're gonna take, like, I have a small appliance that I wanna take, and I have some shoes, and they, like, there are many things you can take there, so I imagine they're like, bring all of your things at once.
Must have been just a tour they were offering.
Oh, okay. Because the newest convenience center is Columbus's on 1550 Georgesville.
Mm. I was thinking we could collect them, then you'd have like this box of, oh, look, your neighbor's taking you to the sand.
We do a collection in the spring.
Yeah. We do when there's DEA drug take back day, the police will take the drugs and then they'll hold on to the bottles. I took the bottles from me last week. And they put them on the line and they're off to go. And I spoke to Logan a little bit about Hefty Reno. And he told me that they have not yet gotten a full bail of Hefty bags yet. It's just interesting
after all this time.
Well, I've had one for several months.
Takes a long time.
I've filled one so far and I haven't gotten a new one yet. Where do you get? I mean, I've seen them in Target. They're different prices, different places.
They raise the price
very expensive.
It's not $7.
For heaven.
20.
You could pull it if you want to. That means.
What was that?
Green batteries on election day in the spring. We can get the word out and have people bring their pills. We have that. Have you done that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The police station. The pill.
With the lids. The labels do not have to be removed.
But you may want to.
I do know, like Elizabeth mentioned, but Rumpke was doing a collection or recycling them. But where Sweco is taking it is a place in Sydney, Ohio. So it's not Rumpke or the hub down in Cincinnati. They have somebody else that's doing it.
They're taking bottles.
Yeah. Well, now see, they take them to Matthew 25 Ministries in Blue Ash, and they use it for Doctors Without Borders in other countries. A lot of people also give them to their vet because the standard, you know, for animals is not near what human grade has to be. So they have to be boiled at the hub.
Oh, maybe somebody in this group knows. So Crayola used to have their marker take back program. You can mail them in. And right before COVID, I got a big box from Ben Pinciotti, the art teacher. And I was like, yeah, I'll send them in. And then COVID happened and they shut that program down. So I still have in my basement this big box from the school. And I check periodically to see about the markers being collected again.
Staples.
Staples will take them?
Yep.
That's the kind of answer I'm looking for. Fantastic.
Take highlighters, permanent markers.
What do they do with them?
Well, who knows?
You want
gets them out of your basement?
Right.
Pinciotti.
I suggested it.
It's also in their back room, not out front.
Thing.
But they have a long list, a laundry list of things.
Hey. Parentcycle also has a marker recycling initiative.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how it works, but you can like request a bag or a box or something and they mail it to you and you can put all your stuff in there.
Okay.
If you have a large volume already, then you might fill up a box and send it back to you.
Oh, I will fill up that box.
I don't think the end product is very
high
quality, but they're doing something.
Well, I also don't know what Crayola was. I mean, I assume they were making markers again, but I don't.
I just went to Dayton yesterday dropping off deodorant containers because Tom's of Maine is stopping doing, they're going to be brand specific. They used to do everybody else's like Colgate, Palmolive, P&G.
Now they're only going to collect their own?
Yes, but they're only going to recycle, yeah. Deodorant containers.
How there's like a place.
I hate how it's so separated though. You have to put so much thought into it. It is like a full time job.
Right.
To
need like a collection, a organization, collect 76 tons of
paper. Right.
Oh, yeah. You have to be a nonprofit.
Yeah.
What we really need is for companies to take the containers back.
Or not even to, or to make a biodegradable. I mean, while we're wishing,
right.
Everything is biodegradable.
Okay, here, we're back.
Yeah, right.
Supposedly this is happening, but just not around here. I can't remember what it's called. It was going to be through Walgreens and Kroger. They were using like a metal. What was it? That's it, yes. And Loop is from the guy at TerraCycle, Tom Zaki.
This?
It's like basically a refillery program.
Oh, okay.
But the Loop, so yes, you're right. The same guy that started TerraCycle started Loop, so it's a separate company. But the cool thing about Loop is they actually worked with the manufacturers like P&G and whomever the company was to develop packaging for their products that was returnable. And the idea is you as a customer, you can either shop online or go to whatever store has the product, bring it back, and then you return the container back to the store or you ship it back to them. And then the company washes, sanitizes, and refills it. So it's an actual true circular loop.
Right.
And unlike Amazon boxes, they have their packaging material used dozens of times back and forth.
I don't think they have had much success though. I don't know why, but I remember they came out maybe 5 or 6 years ago when there was a big hubbub about it. Like they've kind of not had as much success.
I remember like Pantene, Haagen-Dazs.
There were lots of big brands, yeah. Haagen-Dazs ice cream container, a lot of
and they were in
design
other
and engineering
countries.
To that. Yep, France. I think they took hold in France somewhere. In Paris, they have a lot of locations. So maybe instead of going broad, they're concentrating in smaller areas and locations.
All right.
Well, we've been working on it for like a long time. A long time. It's generally done, I think, with people dedicated to just the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you said
often my consultants involved in.
And you said when it's done, it gets hand like it will be presented to City Council. That would be the next step.
Well, so, but before that, there's going to be feedback.
Feedback from City Council.
From City Council, but also from the directors, from this group, from like Franklin Soil and Water. And so,
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Good luck. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yes.
But for the project.
So with all the community engagement meetings, so just a fly on the wall, what I'm putting out, see if we build something new, it gets a metal roof with panels. If we're going to do restoration and all that, and I still have a flat roof, but ancillary, anything new, it's the metal roof. The architects, this is what they do. So they're on board.
Right.
They're on board with me. Right. Now, what we'll do, I don't know. But I've been saying. They already have sustainability built into their problem habit stuff.
Yeah.
The materials.
So the land capacity isn't within the US of lands. But it is owned by an organization based in the city, actually. And so I don't know the answer to this, but would it then fall under natural?
But same rule applies. If we build, if I can get instead of flat, then that's bad. We'll see. It's one loud.
Yeah.
Just one loud. Mouthy guy. The architects are, that's this is what they do.
Yeah.
So they're on board.
Yeah. Okay.
Just so.
Thank you.
They pitched geothermal, but they wanted it under the turf football field. And the people they sent us to talk to get to come in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. I have some science problems. I don't know. But every time there's a problem, I got to take the dirt apart. Grass, yes. Dirt, no. It was like 6 mil more. We were already value cutting and whatever. But not geothermal under a turf field.
At Ohio State?
No. It was a pitch from
oh.
The architects. For the community engagement plan.
You need geothermal and regular HVAC, right? Is geothermal enough in Ohio?
Probably not. But I was offered up Maryland and Montrose, but I was the loud mouth saying, hell no, under my turf field.
I was doing tabling on the Oval at Ohio State one time, and they would not allow people to stake their canopies or their tents. Because there was geothermal
underneath the grass.
Yeah.
Interesting, because it's at least 24 to 36 inches down.
Oh.
But whatever, I get their position. Yeah, you never know what I say what's going on.
But you can't plant a flag in the AstroTurf. That's the big thing. It's going to be a felony.
Oh, yeah. The politicians waited on a flag plane. Jeff coaches.
Before I want to just get follow up about the habitat triangle. So when do you have a timeline for when you want students to be helping with it?
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
I don't have specific dates from.
No, not dates, but like, do you want to?
May.
May. Okay.
May. Yeah, and I'm assuming it would be weekdays again with CSG.
Well, if you want a big group, yeah.
Yeah, and then we're hoping for weekends with other groups like PACs and Troops.
We can, yeah, we can. Okay. It's exciting. Is it walkable? I feel like it helped that it was walkable.
This won't be.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so the triangle is between Astor and Livingston and College and Pleasant Ridge. Oh, and we cleared out all the honeysuckle from Tire Choice too. They had a ton, you know, the tire place right on Livingston, and the volunteers cleared 10 bags of trash too. We had time.
Yeah.
That weekend was 17, and we have 17 for Sunday, but we'll see what happens when it's 17 degrees. It goes in a truck and it goes away from me.
Getting a
theme. It can be all over Japan. But not.
It could be in a native habitat, which is not here.
What? No, so
it could
good.
Be in a native habitat.
Like, exactly. There are honeysuckles that are native. And get this, honeysuckle, like the flowers, mosquitoes like the decaying honeysuckle.
Okay.
It helps, right?
A mosquito is a pollinator.
True, and part of the ecosystem.
Think like about all the bats.
Yeah. Yeah, they eat lots of mosquitoes, as do the birds, but the problem comes in with humans who want to spray and kill the mosquitoes, and then that kills pollinators. That's the issue.
Another, just, I feel like I want to just chat with the herbivores.
We can.
Yeah.
Maybe we need.
You know,
Iguana.
I talked with a naturalist about that, and he said, considering that we live in Bexley and we're in an arboretum, that bats are going to choose a house over that bats are going to choose a tree over a bat house. So not to put our money or time into putting a bat house on our house. But that was one person. So
well, that's a lot. So thank you guys. I think you did this faster than Sunday.
Gold star.
If we have these big priorities for the sustainability action plan prior to the next meeting, I may send some stuff out because I didn't want to take a look and like see how that goes.
Happy holidays, everyone.
I went to a dinner, a foraging dinner. So
okay.
the oh well.